Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Twice a year, the Central Bank of Ireland publishes its financial stability review, and we're joined by the Governor of the Central Bank, Gabriel McClough. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us. Interest rates very much in the news at present, following the cut last week by the European Central Bank. Small cut, but after 10 consecutive increases, appreciated by people particularly on tracker mortgages. But when do you think will the banks pass on the benefit of an interest rate cut to its customers?
Well, the reason, let's first remember, why were rates put up? They were put up because inflation went up. And I mean, our objective is to get inflation to 2% over the medium term. And the process of what I call disinflation is working. But we're not, it's not clear at the moment when we're going to get to the position where we feel that we're on a sustainable path to 2%. So that reduction that we made last week was on the back of seeing some very good numbers of inflation falling. But we've also seen numbers that some parts of the European economy, inflation's a bit stickier and bumpier. So meeting by meeting, we meet every 6 weeks and we look at the data and we see what's happening, and we then make a decision. So at the moment, it would be wrong to speculate as to when the ECB will reduce rates. Of course, as you said, for borrowers, especially tracker borrowers, it's a good news story.
Because it's an automatic reduction.
Yeah. For savers, it's less of a good story. For fixed-rate borrowers, it depends on their contract. And similarly, with variable rate borrowers, it depends on the agreement they have with their lender. I mean, one of the interesting things that we that I talked about today when we published our financial stability review is that a relatively significant number of fixed rate borrowers have not seen any change in their repayment schedule between July 2022, when we put up rates, up to the end of last year. And in fact, 12% of borrowers saw a fall in their repayment schedule because they took advantage of switching opportunities right at the beginning of the hiking cycle.
But yet there's a significant number of people who have been screwed by rising interest rates because they're with the non-bank lenders and they have seen interest rates go up to unsustainable levels. Many people seeing the size of their mortgage double. What can be done for them?
Well, I think for them, the most important thing is that they look for switching opportunities. I mean, we've been saying that now for a while. If they can't switch for whatever reason, they should be, and they have problems with their payments, they should be looking to talk to their lender at the earliest opportunity and try and arrange better arrangements for them.
I think a lot of them have tried that and have found that a lot of these lenders are pretty unforgiving.
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, it depends on the nature of the contractual relationship they have. But, I mean, what we have seen is that some of those lenders, incidentally, I mean, I know that some of them did put up their rates significantly, but some of them didn't, or have entered into arrangements for the impact to be mitigated in some way. So my main advice to people who, at the moment, to borrowers who have difficult, whether they're with non-banks or with banks who have still feel they have challenges with their repayments, they should get in touch with their lender at the earliest opportunity and discuss that with them.
Okay, now the government will be bringing its budget to us in October. It could be September because of general election considerations. But last year, you and the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council both warned against measures that could be inflationary. Did the measures introduced by the government last year add to inflation?
I mean, I think it's important to understand why certainly we in the central bank made those sorts of comments. And in the next, this month, I anticipate writing again to the minister. I write every year in advance of the budget, which is that the Irish economy is doing very well. It's operating basically at capacity. And you need to be careful when monetary policy, whose objective is to maintain price stability, when it operates at the euro area level and fiscal policy or budgetary policy operates at a country by country level, it's really important that decisions made by by budget ministers actually don't make domestic inflation worse, because there's a limit to how much monetary policy can dictate it. I mean, I think last year's budget was probably slightly more expansionary than I would have recommended, than I recommended. And I'm signalling, I have signalled already, I haven't sent my letter yet, but I have already signalled to the government. But again, it's really important to be clear on, to understand what it is that the budget policies are doing, what impact they're having on inflation, which ultimately affects everybody in society.
Because over the last 2 years, in the budget of 2022, there was an 11 billion expansion between tax cuts and additional government spending. It went up to 14 billion last October for this year. There's but an election coming. What's the capacity for the government to actually do something similar to try and grab attention of the voters?
Well, I can't comment on the election, and I can't comment on precisely what's in the government books right now. What I will say is that the government has set itself a rule that it would only increase spending by 5%. So I'm less worried about the amounts.
And it has bust that in recent years by sleight of hand with accounting.
Well, I wouldn't comment on that.
The Fiscal Advisory Council has said gimmickry was involved.
That's their language, not mine. But it has been higher than 5%. And I have said a few months ago, I've said they should stick to their own rule. And I think that's a sort of basic thing. It does depend on what exactly you're using the money for. What are you spending it on? And that is something ultimately that we don't know right now. But I think the government is clear that it has to be careful about inflation. I think it is also clear that it has to be careful about not using the excess corporation tax receipts for permanent expenditure. And it's done a good job to actually put those funds away into new long-term funds.
We've been hearing for years about these excess corporation tax receipts. They keep coming. We keep getting bumper corporation tax results. Maybe they're not excess. Maybe they're permanent.
Maybe. But at the moment, on the evidence, they're coming from, by and large, a handful of companies. The bulk of it is coming from a handful of companies. And I think common sense would tell you that is you're exposing yourself to risk. The change in sentiment by those firms, which may be completely legitimate for whatever reason, that you could very quickly... it's just too concentrated. That's our advice. It is too concentrated. It could be. I mean, you may be right. It could be a permanent thing, but I don't think that the government should take that sort of risk. And actually, to be fair to the government, they have taken that advice and they're putting those funds aside.
Talking of risk, the last crash of 2008 was caused by the residential property bubble bursting. What fears would you have in relation to commercial property, given that, in particular, you're projecting that about a quarter of all commercial office space could very quickly be vacant? In fact, we're a long way there already.
We're seeing that in Dublin, and it's partly because there are some structural changes happening to the use of that sort of into office property. I mean, the phenomenon of working from home, I think, is still in the process of settling down. It hasn't actually reached equilibrium. We are less concerned than you might have thought about the potential impact of a decline in commercial property valuations, because the domestic banking sector is less exposed than it perhaps was to residential real estate back before the crisis. And it's also in itself, the banking sector, much stronger.
So is it foreign money that's at risk?
Well, potentially. Obviously, valuations don't automatically lead to... falls in valuations don't automatically or necessarily mean that funds will be lost. It depends.
Well, there's been quite a few office blocks put for sale recently and shopping centres as well at a significant drop in price compared to what their purchasers bought them for.
No, that's right. And it really depends on the purchaser's own balance sheets as to how long they could sustain that. And it could be that some of them feel that they can see through this particular cycle.
One final thing, the distribution of the spoils of a booming economy is a political issue, is not for you. But as central bank governor, looking at it all, how confident are you that we'll continue to have a strong economy then that governments can work with and use?
Well, I think we have to... I don't think economies can ever be seen as static things. I mean, at the moment, Ireland, the Irish economy is, and certainly compared to many of my European colleagues... the Irish economy is doing well. As I said, it's operating at capacity. We've got very low unemployment. We've created many new jobs in recent years. But I think we can't assume that that is something that will continue on a permanent basis without looking to invest in infrastructure, invest in new skills, and so on. So it's a constant process of making sure the economy is fit for purpose.
Thank you very much, Gabriel McClough, the Governor of the Central Bank.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.